Hi, I'm Ken Livingston. I was born in 1945, just at the end of the war. I grew up in that post-war Britain where every year everything got better. And no one can say that now. But then I got into politics and to my amazement, I became the leader of the Greater London Council when I was just 36 years old back in 1981.
Can you say something about the sort of manoeuvrings? Because that sort, there must be a little bit of politicking goes on. You don't just suddenly get there, Ken, do you?
Well, I grew up in that post-war world where, whether it's a Labour or Tory government, everything got better. We didn't have politicians we loathed or hated, and so we're all optimistic about the future. And this is the first 28 years of my life, I never met an unemployed person. Whether you had a Labour or Tory government, everyone left school, got a job. If you couldn't afford to buy your own home, you'd eventually get a nice little council place. Now I look at the world my kids are living in, I'm deeply pessimistic. I mean, I really worry what it's going to be like for them in 20 years, because no government is really tackling the problems we face.
What about the politics in London? I mean, surely as a big city, it's bound to be always, the Greater London Council was bound to be always Labour.
No, it was very mixed. I mean, basically, the Greater London Council elected an administration which was in opposition nationally. If you had a Tory government, you got a Labour council. If you had a Labour government, you got a Tory council. Because London was quite a marginal seat. It wasn't safe Labour or safe Tory. So it swung and changed very, very much.
Now, right this week, literally, they're introducing this enormous great, some call it a road pricing zone. Some say it's a kind of ultra low emission zone. And there are, the big complaint that I've heard, which I think is one of the most serious, really, is that they're saying there isn't the alternative public transport. You can't really convince people to get rid of their cars when there's no alternative.
Well, hang on, we got really good public transport. I would say to everybody, leave your car at home, get on the bus or the tube or the train. I mean, all my life I've lived in London, I've never once driven a car. I've always used the public transport. And literally, the cost of running a car now is pretty horrendous.
Yeah, well, what about the outlying regions? That's the argument they're using. And also we've got, just address that one if you can. A lot of outlying regions just simply don't have public transport anymore. It's been run down around the edge of London.
Well, no, it's not as good as it was when I was mayor, but what we need is to make sure that it is good enough that everyone can actually get public transport, even if on the very edge of London. Because also, that helps save our lives, because getting out of the car, using public transport, dramatically reduces air pollution. And the air pollution is killing thousands of Londoners each year.
I can remember as a schoolboy hopping on the bus to school, and suddenly one day my fare was half what it was the day before. So what were you up to?
Well, I took the broad view that if I cut the fares, I knew a lot of people would switch from their cars onto public transport. And I think, I can't remember now, but I think the number of people on public transport went up by almost half.
What was the bigger plan? I mean, it was just simply cutting fares, was it?
Well, I cut fares in order to get people out their car and onto public transport. Because, cars clog our roads, they pump out all this air pollution which kills thousands of Londoners every year. So if I'd ever become Prime Minister, I would have clamped down on cars and massively increased public transport all over the country.
Well, if you go and look back at the stats, as some of us do, you'll find there was also an enormous drop, probably more significant than the pollution, in actual accidents and serious accidents on the roads, because during that period, there were so many less cars around to knock people over.
Yeah, and the number of accidents dramatically went down, and that saved a lot of people's lives. And now, of course, the death toll's thousands a year in London. It's horrendous. We should always have governments and councils that are moving people out of their car and onto public transport. And also, it's good because when you're driving a car, you're just caught up in traffic jams. When you're on a bus or tube, you can have a nice time reading the car or chatting to a passenger.
What about when, because the buses were under Thatcher, were privatised? Does it make any difference? Is it more difficult to control for politicians?
Oh, yes. I mean, privatising public transport was a disaster because they pushed up the fares to make big profits and line their own pockets. But they also tended to cut the number of, you know, cars and tubes that we had running. They didn't do anything to make it better. They just made it worse and enriched themselves.
Now, with these clean air zones, what a lot of people are suggesting is that actually what they're really looking at is having these cameras everywhere. So this is a form of road pricing. So everywhere you go is going to be a toll. And of course, you know, you and I know back in the 1960s, the railway network was almost 2/3 of it was just taken out. You know, this is not, and also it's not always, say if you're going on holiday with the kids down to Cornwall, the convenient thing to do to go on public transport. You want your car when you're down there.
Yeah, but literally, I mean, driving all the way down there is really bad for our air quality. But when you get down to the seaside, you don't need to be driving around. You can just walk round to the local restaurant or cafe or down to the beach. I mean, literally, I'm 78 years old. In all my life, I've never driven a car. But I've had wonderful holidays, you know, wonderful travel, always on public transport.
We in Bristol here, we have a clean air zone now. But the trouble is, public transport's not there. Long Ashton, one part of town here, they just cut the bus services. I mean, it seems to be as if it's, you're saying to elderly, I mean, you're potentially confining elderly people to their homes.
Yeah. If they've cut the bus service, that's a disgrace, and they should be kicked out of office.
Well, it's not, no, but it's the private company that's, they just don't want to do it anymore. It's not making them enough money.
Well, in that case, we should nationalise it and take it over. I mean, if you've got private companies, they're not there to make life better for people, but just to enrich themselves and line their own pockets.
So what happened to your scheme in London? Because it looked like it was really taking off, almost going towards the stage. I mean, some cities around the world have done a free public transport.
Yeah, well, basically, I got a real shift out of cars and onto public transport. Air pollution came down. But then, of course, I lost the election to Boris Johnson, and he just reversed all my policies.
What about back in the 1980s?
Back in the 1980s, well, after I'd been running the Greater London Council for 5 years, Thatcher abolished it. And so London didn't have an administration for 14 years, and it was just disastrous. It was only when Labour won the election in 1997 that Blair brought back the idea of having a directly elected mayor, and we started rebuilding it all.
Well, I think for a lot of people, they're looking at these schemes here in Bristol particularly. It's actually largely the poorer people who are being affected by this, who have older cars, if they've got a car. And this doesn't really seem to be a Labour thing, because you've got a Labour administration here.
Yeah, but the simple fact is, if someone's got an old car, it's much more polluting than a newer one. And getting them off the street is a good thing. And what we just want to make sure is that you created a good public transport service so people can switch to it.
Yeah, but the rich who buy their, you know, their Chelsea tractors for 60, 70 grand don't pay a penny.
Yeah, well, I'd crack down on all them and make sure they paid a lot more tax. I mean, the real problem we've had over this last 30 years is, I mean, the richest are virtually paying no tax. They do all this money laundering and tax dodging. I grew up in that postal world, even under a Tory government, everyone paid their fair share of tax. I mean, in the early 1960s, under the Tory government of Harold Macmillan, the top rate of tax on the richest was 98%. Nowadays, they're most certainly not paying anything.
No, that's right. It's gone down to zero. Well, that's very handy if you're super rich. Anyway, so what's happening, just a sort of final question, what's happening on the left? Because we don't seem really to have much of an opposition at the moment.
Well, I think, you know, part of the problem is ever since I was becoming anti-Semitic, I was thrown out of the party, so I'm completely out of touch with what's happening. But I do, I mean, I'm going to look forward to voting for Keir Starmer at the next election, and I do think he will be a good Prime Minister and life will start to get better.
There have been a lot of these anti-Semitic smears, most of them against Jews in the Labour Party. What do you make of that?
Absolutely bizarre, isn't it? I mean, I literally, in all my life, I never heard anything anti-Semitic in the Labour Party. I mean, I only ever heard one racist comment back in 1970, one man complaining about the song Young, Gifted and Black. That's it. If you're racist or anti-Semitic, you're not going to join the Labour Party, because we've been a homeland for the Jewish community, the blacks, the Asians.
Yeah, but what's going on, Ken?
The media have always been filled with lies and smears. I mean, you look back, I've not just been accused of being anti-Semitic, I've been accused of being corrupt, alcoholic, violent, tax dodging, homosexuals, supporting the IRA, supporting Russia in the Cold War. I had 40 years of lies and smears in the Tory media. But unless you're rich, you can't afford to sue. I mean, before you get to court, you have to have spent £100,000. So I just had to learn to live with all these lies and smears. But most people know they're crap. I mean, they'd stop me on the street and say, we know this isn't true.
Ken, do you blog? Do you write? If listeners want to follow your thoughts these days?
No. Literally, this last period, I've just been an old age pensioner at home. I never do anything on the internet. If I was going on the internet, I'd just be getting death threats and abuse.
Well, that's a horrible thing to hear. Can you just recommend maybe one of your books for people that are interested in your political history?
Oh, well, my autobiography is called You Can't Say That. I mean, I published that about 2011. It's good fun.
All right, Ken Livingstone, thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers. Bye.